Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchik, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to an edition of the SMB Community Podcast with me, Amy Babinchik, and my good friend, James Kernan. How are you doing, James?
Doing well. I'm a little chilly. I'm wearing a sweater or a sweatshirt today. I think the temperature is a little colder here than they are in Michigan.
Yeah, but I'm dressed the same way. And I got my little space heater going down here in the office. So, yeah, suddenly winter. We got some snow.
Winter is officially here, Yeah, we got. I think the day after Thanksgiving, we got 6 inches, and then it's snowing a couple more inches this morning. So more is on its way.
We got about 4 inches, and it was that heavy, wet, mushy snow that neither the snowblower nor your back likes to remove. So it's just a pain either way you do it. But I know we get our weather a couple days later from you guys, so we're expecting some more cold weather to come. But we've been talking about what a warm fall it's been, and then
winter. Winter's here. Winter's here just in time for Christmas, so no problem.
Well, it is pretty, right? So the leaves are gone off the trees and the standing trunks are bare and it gets a little dull out there and it gets pretty darn dark here in standard time. But the snow's come and brighten up the world. So I do appreciate it for that, for sure. It makes it look really nice outside.
I agree. I love the snow.
Well, James, I saw an article that had some bad news about 2025, and it was a little surprising because, you know, we've noticed that there's been layoffs by the big tech companies throughout, you know, a little here, a little there, I mean, 14,000 here, 10,000 there. But they added them all up for the year and it's 180,000 for the first 10 months of 2025. That's a big bruising chunk of unemployed people.
That's a big number. That's actually higher than I thought it would be. I knew the big tech companies were cleaning house and trimming a little fat around the belt, but that number was surprising. So, yeah, just a sign, I think, of the struggles in the economy. We've had some mixed messages and mixed indicators, I guess, that have come out. You know, the interest rates are slowly going down. Stock markets seem to be volatile, but they're growing. But then unemployment is going up, and people are looking to try to save money any way they can.
There's a bunch of news about new car sales are slowing down, a couple weeks ago they were saying that consumers are hurting the economy by not buying new phones as often. Yeah. Which seems kind of laughable, but, you know, it is points out to everybody's kind of pinching pennies on stuff.
Yeah, the big ticket stuff. I think people are spending their money a little slower on that.
But, yeah.
That makes sense. I read an article that interviewed CEOs of MSPs in the tech space, and a couple hundred were surveyed, and 80% of them said they were looking for ways to cut costs. You know, moving into 2026, that was number one on their plan. And I think 64% were talking about raising prices, you know, at the same time, which is interesting. You know, that's, that can be good or bad, depends on how often you do it. But
yeah, well, that is our MSP question of the week, actually. It's what is the best way to raise your prices? And, you know, I think we've always encouraged people to raise their prices regularly.
Right.
And when I see this question, I feel like it's coming from people that probably haven't raised their prices in a long time.
Yeah, that's what I see. It's a frequent question I ask MSP business owners at conferences or when I run into them. It's like, hey, when was the last time you raised your price? And often I hear 5 years, 6 years, or never. You know, it's been a long time, and it does make it more challenging. But you know, that just tells me it's time to do it. I think the key with that, so that's a great question. I think it's important to explain why. You know, you don't want to just raise prices and you're going to charge more for doing the same thing. I think the messaging that we need to do is point out that you've invested heavily in your people. We've hired better people. We've got better tools. You know, all of my costs have gone up, and therefore I'm going to need to raise my prices. And you know me, I'm a marketeer. I like making a marketing campaign out of it. There was a campaign I wrote a long time ago called the Good News, Bad News campaign. You know, or good news, bad news, great news. The good news is, you know, we're growing and we've invested in our people and we've got more tools and all of that stuff. But the bad news is we've got to raise our pricing because of all that. But the great news is, and this was more for attacking break fix customers, you know, customers that weren't on contract, just saying, hey, if you come on contract, we'll keep your pricing the same and you won't be affected by the price increase. But we're rolling out a price increase for everybody else and to motivate them. And I think now would be a great time to do it in December. You could roll out a small price increase, say effective January 1, and just make sure you, if you do plan to do that, make sure you roll it out and explain why you're doing it. I think to me, that's one of the more important reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I also found that, you know, I was guilty of not raising my prices for a long time, for a while there. And then I got smarter. And because when I did finally raise my prices, I got a bunch of pushback from customers. But then the next time that I raised prices, I didn't get any pushback because I did it differently. You know, in both cases, you know, I explained why we need to raise prices and how long it's been since our last price raise and yada, yada, all that stuff. But the frequency of it actually caused customers to notice it less, mm-hmm. which was really kind of counterintuitive, you know, as a business owner, that's going to be the case. We also didn't make a big deal out of it. You know, we put the notices on our invoices. Hey, you know, this is what's happening. This is why, not in a big blog post, but in like two sentences at the bottom of the invoice, you know, notice.
Yep.
And, you know, and then we did send it out also. Of course, you got those customers that are going to, oh my gosh, this happened. We had no idea. Well, it's been, we notified you on your invoice for the last 2 months.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's interesting. I like that idea. You know, you don't want to make a big deal about it, because that's when customers are like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to make a big deal about it then. So yeah. I do. Obviously, we need to communicate those things in advance. But I can see that working very effectively. Was that second pay increase, you know, when you raised your prices, was it smaller than the first one or was it about the same?
Smaller. It was smaller than the first one.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. We had a bunch of catch up to do. Right.
Right.
And when you bump your prices by 20%, people go, oh my gosh. But if you bump them by 5%, they go, oh yeah, everything is getting a little more expensive, isn't it?
And just like that article I read, I think the two things go hand in hand. Obviously you need to keep up with the cost of living expenses and inflation, right? So you should be looking at making timely small increases in bumping your prices. I think that's a good practice to look at. But on the flip side, I see MSP struggling with this all the time when they have so many different tools that they're not using, so many different, you know, software subscriptions that they're not using or haven't had time to implement, and you're just paying all these fees. You know, take a look at cleaning house there and reducing some expenses. That's another way to increase your margin.
I always find that to be the case too. Anytime I have the opportunity to work with an MSP, that's one of the first things I look at. It's like, let's go find some money for stuff you're paying for that you shouldn't be paying for. And there's always there. So, you know, somebody's sacred cow, you're only using it for two clients, it's got to go.
I had an old client, this was years ago, but his was such a mess. He had multiple credit cards, dozens and dozens of different vendors. He had no idea. And instead of trying to go back and audit everything, you know what he did? He just went and turned off all of his credit cards. And just think of what, what a nightmare that would be. But he made all these vendors, you know, obviously the vendors were calling him back saying, hey, we need to turn this back on. We need a different credit card. Okay, well, what was I getting again? How many users? What was the pricing? What? Why is it? And he used it as an exercise. I liked what he did. But yeah, that's the nuclear bomb way to do it. So
that's the way to get make your accounting staff just hate you, though.
Yeah, I agree.
Who's ever in charge of the books is really going to hate you. But I get it. You got to find some way to look at those pennies. So raise your prices, but don't forget to look in-house. I think that's the takeaway there, because you're bleeding money in-house more than you probably think.
Exactly.
Hey, remember way back at the beginning of my career, hackers used to do stupid little things. Like, you know, there'd be a virus. And I remember one in particular. I don't know what its name was. I called it the big fat pig virus. So it was a word virus. And what it would do is it would attach itself to a file. And whoever was the owner of the file, when you opened it, it would flash a message on the screen that said, Mary is a big fat pig. Or, you know, whoever the last opener. And that's all it did, right?
That's it.
And that was the tiny beginnings of hacking. And it was just annoying stuff. Well, it happened again. Only this time it was over the broadcast radio. So in November, several radio stations were hit by hackers, and it sounds like it's probably the same ones or copycats at the very least. And so these radio stations in Texas and Virginia were using the default password for the emergency broadcast system equipment that they have in their office. And the hackers got in there and they used it to broadcast obscene messages. So, you know, that sound, yeah. Right? And then after that, you know, God, now that I have your attention, let me broadcast some obscenities at you. So they, I guess, had fun with that, but.
Sounds like some naughty high schoolers.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it's the curse of the standard default password again.
Exactly.
When are people going to learn?
Wow.
I guess never.
Never.
Never. <Yeah. laughs> I guess never. Here's a fun thing that I saw. The CIA has this, and now I want to go visit the CIA headquarters. The CIA has a statue called Kryptos in their headquarters. And it has cryptographic messages on it. And it's been a puzzle for the entire time that it's been there. It's been there for decades. And there are four messages which lead to a fifth hidden one. The first three have been solved. The fourth one has never been solved. And nobody knows what the fifth one is because they haven't solved the fourth one yet.
Wow.
It's been decades. And so the artist that made it is 80 years old and probably is thinking, and nobody's ever gonna get this thing.
Yeah.
And so he sold it. So he sold the keys, his messaging, his design, his everything associated with it, his notebooks, the whole deal, including a private meeting with himself with the new owner. He got $963,000 for it. Just wow. for that bit of information. Yeah.
Wow. For him.
Yeah. Anyway, that's, the new owner's going to keep it going.
I love it. That's a sign the economy is not that bad.
Yeah.
You can afford to do that.
Right? Yeah. Well, I mean, he's got some kind of business plan, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, I thought that was kind of fun.
Yeah, that's very cool. I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, you hear about these buried treasures now and then, you know, that are out there that worth $1 million or whatever. Here's one smack in the middle of the CIA headquarters.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. Love it.
Yeah. So did we talk about Amazon Leo?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So, you know, Amazon's had their space program for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they renamed it to Leo, and they just released it to large enterprise. And so it's kind of they're going to use it to provide additional connections to their AWS service.
Is how they're
using that. Maybe someday it's going to end up as a competition to Starlink and be available to consumers, but they're rolling it out first to large enterprise, which interesting strategy. You know, it's a strategy that Microsoft has always had, is to serve large enterprise with new technology. So it's interesting to see Amazon go that same route, whereas Starlink has really, you know, targeted you and I for their satellite.
Right.
Services.
Interesting. Well, good for them.
Yeah. Speaking of technology and AI and stuff, our president signed a executive order telling the Department of Energy and 17 national laboratories that we own to integrate their AIs all together and create one big one.
Hmm.
So really interesting, because they think that this information has been siloed for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so they expect that some new information is going to come out of it, because we probably don't know everything that we know. I think that's really interesting about AI, and I'm kind of excited about it for this reason alone, not just for the Department of Energy stuff, but just in general. I feel like once it ingests everything, especially the scientific information, which it really doesn't have yet.
Right.
I think we're going to find out that we know things that we didn't realize we knew, because a little piece of it's over here and a little piece of it's over there. But if AI can put it together, we might see a huge leap forward in technology.
Yeah, I saw that article. I found it fascinating as well. And, you know, hopefully it will help, you know, help us, you know, put that together. I agree that the information's kind of scattered all over the place, especially in labs like that. I'm also curious about when that data's out there, you know, that'd be another target for the hackers to go after, you know, or the bad countries, you know, looking to swipe our data.
Yeah, that's true. Instead of 17 places to look, now they have just one.
Right.
So, yeah, there's definitely always a trade-off to consolidating information and keeping that secure. It's that old, you know, eggs in one basket. But the argument against that is it's really hard to carry 17 baskets and keep them all safe. So, So with some focus, it should be all right. I want to talk about Ignite for a minute. Microsoft Ignite happened. And if anybody doesn't know, you know, Ignite is free to attend remotely. So it's a great resource. They had some really good announcements during Ignite. Of course, AI was in the title of, I think, every session. It probably was mandated or something. must include AI.
Right.
Anyway, awesome gift to small business. Microsoft has bundled Copilot and Purview into Business Premium. Now, there's a huge discount too. So for like an extra $10, you get both of those things, which together were something like 27. So massive discount to businesses with 300 users or fewer. And so you don't have to buy a Business Premium with those things, but boy, Purview is how you're going to protect your data against AI, not just Copilot, but all the AIs. So organizing, controlling data, setting life cycles, setting up those guardrails, you can get that at a really steep discount. I think that's a fantastic thing that they did there.
Yeah, that's great news. That's great news. That's big time savings.
Yep. The other thing that got quite a bit of press is Security Copilot is now included in E5 and no price increase. And so Security Copilot is tremendously expensive. You know, we figured out about how much money it would cost to run Security Copilot. It's about $130,000 a year.
Wow.
Just to run it and be able to use it in some functional manner. And the reason they priced it like that is they positioned it as a way to replace security analysts. So that's actually a good price if you're replacing a security analyst with it. So what they've done with the E5 is they've now kind of admitted that people are using this in different ways. And so you get a certain amount of Security Copilot based on each license that you own. Now, you have to be a pretty big player to make it worth enough to bother with. So the example that they used was if you have 1,000 licenses, you get 400 hours, 400 units of Security Copilot. And then it's per license. So scale that back to where you're at and find out how much Security Copilot time you're going to be being gifted. So, but I still think it's a nice thing that they've done there as well. And then the last thing, which is going to really make people happy, is you can finally sync pass keys between devices. So Microsoft's implementation of pass keys tied them to the device. And everybody knows that when you go to change devices with change to your phone or whatever, you get a new phone and you have to reload Authenticator, Microsoft's Authenticator, part of their process of ensuring that this is the device that you use for it, right? That was part of it. Like the device authentication and the MFA were tied together. They have untied those things for pass keys. So pass keys are going to be able to sync, which is kind of a big deal because they're being used on your desktop and laptop as mm-hmm. much as your phone. So
sure.
So that will make a lot of people happy.
Interesting. Interesting. A lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, there was a lot of news out there. A lot of good stuff out at Ignite too. So if you're a Microsoft shop, you can still listen to all those things. And most everybody is a Microsoft shop, so you should be. Take a few hours, find your highlights, listen to those sessions for sure.
Hmm. Where was the event held this year, Amy?
I don't even know. I listened to it remotely.
Okay.
I did not pay any attention.
There you have
where it was. I mean, there was a physical event I don't know how many people they have there, usually in the thousands, but I don't know where it was.
Yeah, I knew a lot of people that went to it, but I know they change it up occasionally, but I wasn't sure where they had it this year.
I think it's been in Vegas for a while now. But yeah, I didn't pay any attention to where it was.
Yeah, it makes sense. That makes sense. Well, hopefully somewhere warm. And that's where I'm going to be later this week. I can't wait to get out of the snow and the cold here in the Midwest. I'll be in California. So looking forward to getting to Newport Beach and seeing our good friend Carl Polachek and getting out there in for almost a week. I'll be out there. So into early next week.
Nice. And yep. So Newport Beach is a fun place to be. So I know you're going to get a good turnout for that one because that city draws people all by itself.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful city. And we're doing some fun things. We've got some fun dinner plans and We're going to do the holiday light Christmas harbor tour. So get out there and cruise around the harbor. It'll be a little chilly out there on the boat, but a beautiful time of year to do that. That's always one of my favorites. But a lot of fun speakers and a lot of, and I've got two clients of mine that are coming back kind of sharing testimonial or really their success stories about, you know, where they started and where they're at today. Everybody loves hearing those success stories. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Nice. All right. Well, I think that concludes our episode for today. Thanks everybody for listening in. We hope you had a great Thanksgiving if you're in the United States. Otherwise, we hope that you gave thanks anyway, because we love our Thanksgiving holiday around here. So, all righty. We will see you guys next time.
Take care, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.